Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Monday, the 15th of April. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined this morning by Chris Jack. It's the morning after the nightmare before, Chris.
It is indeed. We didn't think we would be having this conversation after a trip to Ross County. I think the last few weeks we've been fairly confident and optimistic that we wouldn't be having this conversation at all and that things would end well for Rangers. But I think this morning we all have that sinking feeling that the title race is not done. Rangers can still be champions, but I think we're all old enough, wise enough, ugly enough to have been through this situation before. I think you kind of get a sense where things are going. It felt like a big blow yesterday, and it'll take something remarkable for Rangers to turn this around. So no, the inquest starts now. Talk of the future will start now, and I say hopefully we can turn things around in time for Wednesday. We'll see how the next couple of weeks go, but I'd be surprised if there's anyone that comes on the show this week who has huge optimism in terms of Rangers and their title challenge right now.
Yep. And much like Rangers yesterday, my mic stand broke this morning, so I'm holding my microphone. So if there's a bit of interference, folks, I do apologise. But before we delve into the debacle in Dingwall, just a quick word for our podcast sponsors, MPH Boilers. They've got fantastic deals on at this moment in time on some Viessmann boilers. German engineering can't get much better than that, is what they say. They've got a free internet controller available, flexible finance options, first year service fee as well. The all-important links are in the description below. Right, where shall we begin then? This a disastrous result for Rangers, opportunity to close the gap to a single point ahead of Wednesday's trip to Dens Park for the umpteenth time to take on Dundee. Rangers going in at the break, a goal ahead, perhaps fortunate to be in front at the break, an own goal from a corner, amazingly. But Ross County passed up some good opportunities in that first half, came out in the second half. Rangers were atrocious, and Ross County scoring three goals without reply. Rangers absolutely shell-shocked. Changes were made. It wasn't until late on that James Tavernier converted a penalty, but Rangers never really looked like scoring an equaliser, let alone a winner. And they came back down the road humbled after the Staggies recorded their first ever victory against Rangers. It leaves the title race very much in favour of Celtic. Rangers 4 points behind. They can close the gap on Wednesday to a point, but they have to win all remaining six games for me, Chris, and I don't trust this team to go to Parkhead and pick up all 3 points. Now, I do think that Celtic may stumble themselves at some point, but do I trust this Rangers team to acquire more points than Celtic in the remaining games? No, I do not. This felt like a bit of a fatal blow yesterday.
And you think back to the build-up to the Old Firm game, we went into that one with so much optimism. There was a chance to lay down a real marker, a statement of intent victory, a statement of intent performance. That was then followed by the worst 45 of Philippe Clement's tenure. Got away with it to an extent by getting a draw. 7 days later, you follow that up with the worst 90 minutes that we've seen for quite some time for a side in this position, for a side who have worked so hard and done so well to get them back into this position. How can you go and throw it away against 11th placed, relegation threatened Ross County, who have never, think of all the rotten Rangers sides that we've seen over the years, Ross County never beaten Rangers. They should not have beaten Rangers yesterday, but in the end, thoroughly deserved to, because Rangers were just a mile off it, nowhere near acceptable. And ultimately, it's put them in a very, very difficult position. And that game at Parkhead has gone from one, you're thinking, well, you go and you keep it tight and you try and get a draw, and that could be the result. As you say, Derek, it's every game now has to be won, including the Parkhead game. Anything other than that, Rangers don't win the championship.
Yep.
You're sitting here, like, only a few months on after Clement came in. We all thought the league was done when Michael Beale got sacked. They've done very, very well to get themselves into this position. They're six games away, six straight wins away from the title, eight straight wins away from the treble, but it feels as far away as it has done for several weeks now. That result yesterday, and the manner of it, the performance, the mistakes, mistakes from the same players, same mistakes being made. It's fully understandable why the fans are really despondent this morning. It's hard to have the faith in the squad. I think we've both said over the last few weeks, we still know this team and this squad, it's not very good. It may well have gone on another season. It may well have just about had enough. It could have gone on and won the title. That wouldn't have made the mistakes of last summer or the mistakes made building this squad. That wouldn't have eradicated all of them. It's still not a good enough group of players. And I think that's just materialised. Now, when push comes to shove, they've not been able to get the business done.
Yep. Right, before we delve deeper into it, this is what the manager had to say when he was sat down for his post-match press conference. Here he is.
What's the main thoughts after that?
That we threw away the points today. That we didn't start well enough first half. On the ball, in the duels, we get our chances also. We were not lethal enough also in the opportunities that we got in the first half, although a few clear ones. That you come then in a good way into halftime with 0-1 leading. I warned them that it was not good enough the first half, and I wanted to see more second half and keeping the clean sheet, but then you concede 2 goals in 5 minutes or something. And then you start chasing the game. So that makes it more difficult. You give energy to the opponent. They get a lot of energy. They put their bodies all over the pitch in front of the ball to make the decisive tackle or duel or whatever. And I think the last half hour we played much better, and I wanted to see that urgency 90 minutes long and not 30 minutes long.
There you go, Chris. He said he warned the players at half-time, which makes the second half showing all the more galling, really. And let's start with the back line, but we'll move our way through the team. Butland and Catmull aside, I think everyone was below par. Yes, you can let us know in the comments, folks, if you believe that Butland maybe was at fault for any of the goals, and Cantwell deserves criticism as well. But the whole back line was a shambles. And as said before in my predicted teams, I wouldn't have had Connor Goldson in that starting 11. He's not playing anywhere near well enough to be first pick. I want to see Leon Balogun in the team on Wednesday alongside John Souter. I want to see Souter on that right-hand side with Balogun on the left. Don't want to see Borna Barisic in the team, Chris. I said previously, and I did have him in the team because I felt that Ridvan wouldn't be fit enough to start the game. For me, I'd rather Dujon Sterling came on, of course, over on that left-hand side. I'm even looking at some of the younger lads, perhaps. Surely Robbie Fraser can fill in that position at this point in time. But that whole back line needs ripped up in the summer. It's a patchwork job until the end of the season. James Tavernier is not playing well enough either, but he still plays for me based on the fact that he still produces numbers in an offensive manner. I know Dujon can fill in at right back as well, but I think Tav stays in the team for me. But Connor has to come out of there. Souter wasn't much better, I've got to say, but the whole back line is a major concern going forward.
The manner of the goals conceded yesterday was shambolic, to be honest. You think back to the Old Firm game last weekend, there was a penalty aside, comes down to the VAR call. The first we've spoken about was just absolutely comical for all the wrong reasons. The third, not good enough. You then follow that up by, you can almost understand Celtic being able to play through you and cut you open. They do have a higher quality player. Ross County should not have been able to work their way through Rangers as easily as they were yesterday. The chance that Harman had at the back post inside the first minute, that should have been a warning sign to Rangers. The warning wasn't taken. The manager's message at the break, whatever it was, however strong it was, clearly wasn't taken either. Because to come out and losing the first goal, losing a really, really soft and poor first goal is one thing. To then follow that up just a couple of minutes later doesn't just show that you're not organised and that you're not switched on and you're not communicating. That is a mentality question for me. You know that Ross County, once they get that first one, their tails are going to be up, they're going to try and come and get the second one. You have to see out that next 5 minutes and then re-establish yourself and then hope that your quality and the higher standard of player on your side allows you to go and win the game. As soon as you go 2-1 down, the challenge just becomes so much more difficult. I'm sure we'll come on to the top end of the pitch. The challenge being more difficult because you don't take your chances. But if you know that the back line is conceding goals in that manner, then the midfield is so easy to get through. I think as soon as the second one went in, I didn't have any real faith that the comeback was on. As soon as it goes to 3, even when Tav gets a penalty and 7 minutes goes up, it's at miracle stage by that point, and Rangers don't have enough guys in that squad capable of producing miracles. So very much shot themselves in the foot. It's their own fault. It's their mistakes. Fair play to Ross County. A number of fans say that over the last few hours online, and also some comments coming in saying fair play to Don Cowie's side. I thought County played well. Their game plan worked. A great day for them, great result. But they were handed it on a plate by a Rangers side who turned up and absolutely stumped the place out.
Yep. They totally deserved it. Their win, there's no doubt about it. I've said it before on videos, the Rangers defence come the summer needs rebuilt. But at this point in time, the manager's got a job on his hands patching it up because they're leaking goals. So much so, I'm going to turn into Joshua for a second here, folks. He sent me this shot map for Ross County. Apparently, he's done a bit of analysis on the game. You can read his instant analysis in the description below. And there's a piece on the website. It's the highest XG total conceded by Rangers in a single league game in the past 6 seasons. So that tells you everything you need to know about how ropey and leaky that Rangers backline was on Sunday. Now, let's move on to the midfield. Kieran Dill's not good enough to start Rangers games for me, Chris. He's a squad player at best, and I was surprised to see him starting the game yesterday. John Lundstrom has fallen off the boil. I said it a few weeks ago. I said he looked leggy. He is out of form again. Who knows if it's a fitness issue, if his mind is on other things. Of course, he's out of contract in the summertime. But at this moment in time, he, like Goldson, is not playing well enough to earn a starting berth. If Mohamed Diamandi, I'm not too sure what his fitness is like with that thumb surgery that he had last week. If he's fit enough to start the game on Wednesday, I'm starting him and Dujon Sterling in the middle of that park because Rangers midfield yesterday was not good enough.
No, I said County played through far, far too easily. I know people have their views on the manager's setup tactically. I think there's been a lot of discussion over the team that he picked. Ultimately, though, that 11 should have been good enough to go and beat Ross County. Yes, that doesn't mean that the manager is immune from criticism. When results like this happen, everyone gets it in the neck. Everyone deserves their fair share. But you think of the money that's in those two players, in Dill and Lundstrom, the money that they're on, the level that they've played at, level that they've played at for Rangers at times, they should have been good enough to get up to Dingwall, control the middle of the pitch and allow Rangers to go and win that game. Too many of them, not just those two, too many players completely off it yesterday. The midfield, there's been times this season we've been really short of numbers. And we've been able to kind of get through that. Also, running December was very, very difficult in terms of numbers being out. Mm-hmm. You've already got Ryan Jack sidelined. A fit and firing Ryan Jack makes a big difference, but he's not fit. He's certainly not firing, therefore can't be relied on. Nico Raskin has been out of form almost all season. There's not going to be a huge clamour to bring him back in. Sterling, I think, has to start in there on Wednesday night, providing that Ridvan is then fit enough to play left back. Diomandi, if it's just thumb surgery to repair a broken bone, you'd like to think they can do enough with it to get him on the park. So I think the midfield has been an issue for different reasons throughout the whole season. Lundstrom has become a problem because at the start of the manager's reign, he was excellent. As you say, Derek, the last couple of weeks, gone off the boil, not really been at it. Whether it's just a bit of tiredness, whether he's carrying something, I don't know. If it's contract related, then he doesn't deserve one because you can't be going into games 6 or 7 games from the end of the season with what's at stake for Rangers And if that type of thing is playing on your mind, I'm sorry, you then don't deserve to be at a club like Rangers, and you should be moved. You should be moved on. So hope that's not the reason for it. He has played a lot of football, has been relied upon a lot. It might just be a fitness thing, as you say, looking a bit leggy. Now, that's a problem, but it's a bigger problem because there's no one there. You say, well, that's the ready-made replacement. That's Ryan Jack can go in there, Nico Raskin can go in there, because they can't, because they're either not fit or they're not in form. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lundstrom starts again on Wednesday night. Deal Mandy, I'd like to see come back in. I think my two would be Sterling and Deal Mandy, just for a bit of freshness. But don't be surprised if Lundstrom gets that nod again. And there's going to be a number of... It's going to be a really, really interesting team lineup. We'll obviously pick our teams if it's out later on in the week. The 11 that the manager picks is going to be really, really interesting. Does he stick with the same guys? Does he stick with those leaders within the dressing room? Or does he say, I'm sorry, but your form just not good enough. You've not earned a spot. I've seen a number of people reference Todd Cantwell, hooked after half an hour in a European game, but you've then got guys like Goldson, who's not been at it for a long time, still playing. So if you're the manager, you can't have it both ways. You can't take Cantwell out of a European game because he didn't play well, he didn't do what he was asked in that half an hour. Goldson, for me, has not been at it for a long, long time now. He was hopeless in the Old Firm game yesterday. We are near good enough as well, and again he's becoming a problem, but right now he's not the only one, because I think yesterday it was almost performances catching up on Rangers. I don't think they've been fluent, they've not really been that great the last few weeks, managed to get through it just about, but I think we've always feared that a result like that was coming. I certainly didn't expect it to come away at Ross County. I thought maybe come at Tynecastle or one of the trickier games at Ibrox coming up. Yesterday should have been taken care of, and Rangers, I say, were just nowhere near it.
Yeah, even when Ross County draw level, a team that's going for the championship should have the nous about them to regroup, reset, and go again. But Rangers just simply collapsed. Mandy with a point says, "What's happened with Fred van Derica, Chris?" We'll get an update tomorrow when we hear from the manager on that, Mandy. Let's hope he's back. We did hear from Clement, he did say it would just be a few days, I think, rather than the weeks for Ridvan, but obviously wasn't fit enough to feature yesterday. The quicker Rangers can get him back, the better. Just on Lundstrom, it's a big call for the manager, like Goldson. I don't think he has been a sort of go-to man in the middle of that park, but the team are bigger than any individual, and at this moment in time, he's not playing well enough for a starting place. Let's move on to the forward line then, Chris. Cyril Dessers, for me, Rangers' failure to buy a competent striker in the January window will cost them the league title. Again, missed a golden opportunity before half-time. Dessers skied it over the stand, and it was dreadful finishing. Not the first time, of course, some might say, but his numbers are decent. I'm sorry, but Rangers cannot rely on this guy playing pretty much the majority of games from here on in, with Rangers not bringing in adequate replacements. Fabio Silva, not for me. He's not got that killer instinct in front of goal. Kamar Roof, we know about. We touched on Ryan Jack there. He falls into the same bracket. Can you rely upon him? Is he fit enough? We know he came on yesterday, but can he start games? If he's fit enough to start games, he starts on Wednesday. But a lot of talk was Lauren Shankland. Rangers should have brought him in the window, Chris. I'm not even talking about Shankland. Simon Murray would have been an upgrade on what Rangers had yesterday. They just needed someone competent in front of goal, and I think it will cost Rangers the title.
I think that lack of goals is something that we spoke a lot about during the January window. There was a lot of people say Shankland was the name. I think if you look at the business that Rangers did do and what's been said since, even if Hearts wanted to sell Shankland, the money just wasn't there for them, because there's so much invested in the summer. You spent £4.5 million on Dessers, who has contributed to an extent but nowhere near enough. One of the other guys you spent your money on is banging in the goals back in Holland, and the other guy that you spent your money on has been injured for half the season. So that's why there wasn't this big splurge in January. money's just not there. Rangers can't just magic it up and go and sign Lauren Shankland. If they could combine all the good bits of Silva, Dessers and Roof, they would have quite a striker on their hands. As it is, they've got three who can do certain good bits, but no one who has got the whole package, no one who can be relied upon to get through the games, no one who can be relied upon to score a level of goals. And Rangers, it's always felt like they had to be a sum of their parts side this season. They needed everyone to chip in. So you're looking at Silva coming in and maybe getting between 7 and 10. Has he got, what, 2 or 3 maybe? As much as I think technically he's a good player. There's clearly talent there. Doesn't score enough goals. Cortez has obviously been a huge loss. I think he would have scored a couple.
Yeah.
But you're looking at Cantwell has to chip in. You're looking at Lundstrom chipping in. You're looking at the centre-halves being more effective from set pieces. Rangers finally score from a corner yesterday, and it's an own goal rather than one of our guys getting on the end of it. You know what you're going to get from like Tav, but I think the way the window unfolded, Rangers needed to get goals from different areas of the side. When that doesn't happen regularly enough, the focus rightly goes on your number nine, and your number nine is just not good enough. Your number nine doesn't score the number of goals required to win Rangers the league. If you go 2-0 up yesterday, you go on and you win the game. As soon as you don't, how many times have we seen that movie? You don't put teams away, you don't take your chances, you know what's going to come, and you can have no qualms about what's coming because you put yourself in that position. If you're a side who has got mistakes at one end of the pitch in you, and you make mistakes in terms of finishing at the other end of the park, you get results like yesterday.
Yep, and I'm concerned at the forward line. We've said it, how many times have we said it? It's not good enough. I would be inclined to start Abdallah Sima through the middle against Dundee on Wednesday as opposed to on the right. It then opens up a space on the right-hand side. I know Ross McCausland was on the bench yesterday. Surely he's fit enough to start that game. Over on the left, Rabi Matondo came on. I don't think Fabio Silva covered himself in glory. Chris was very frustrated when his number was held aloft and he was brought off at the park as well, which I can understand. I don't want them being all cheery and happy coming off, but Rangers need more from that forward line, and it's hard to see where the goals are going to come from. But ahead of Wednesday, would you be, I know, wherever the game's going to be played, if it's on that quagmire that is Dens Park, then so be it. Would you be starting Matondo on the left? Would you like to see Abdallah Sima through the middle, perhaps?
I think as I said earlier on, I think it's a really interesting team selection from the manager. Now, does he give these guys a chance to rectify some of their mistakes? Does he keep faith in them and hope that they'll try and play through it? So do you start Goldson? Do you start Lundstrom? Do you start Dessers? Or do you say, sorry, enough's enough. You had your chances. Your cost is 5 points in the last week. It's not good enough. Here comes the changes. So you do bring in like Matondo off the left. McCausland comes in off the right. Sima, as you say, goes in through the middle. That's a very different-looking Rangers forward line. There's a lot of pace in that, a lot of attacking threat in that. Is there enough goals? You're relying on Sima, I think, scoring them. In the middle of the pitch, as I spoke about, does Raskin come back in? Do you go Sterling, do you mandate at the back? I know there'll be a huge call for Leon Balogun to come back into the side and replace Goldson or Suter. I think Goldson probably edges it in terms of people's frustration. So I think it's a really, the only one who's guaranteed, or the only two who are guaranteed their spots for me on Wednesday night, Jack Butland and James Tavernier. The rest, I think every position is up for grabs. The squad is healthier now in terms of numbers. The manager does have options. So I think that there'll be a lot of, it's been really difficult to predict Clermont 11s over the course of his tenure. How many times have we put them up on a Saturday or Sunday morning, a couple of hours later, and we've got like half the team right. A couple of times recently, I think maybe two 11s right. I think I've had two 11s right and maybe a couple of nines or tens. But I think this weekend or this in midweek, it's arguably the most difficult one to predict because it all depends on his mindset. Is it a case of these guys get another shot or a case of, sorry, you've had your chance, I'm now going to go in a different direction? And whatever way he goes, that really changes the look of that Rangers side come Wednesday night.
Yeah, Sky Lover K is on Instagram, says Todd Cantwell deserves a start on Wednesday night. Yeah, I'd start Todd as well. Unlucky with an effort that cannoned off the crossbar. Loads of points coming in. Let's get, firstly, Gary is still optimistic. He says, Derek, if we can pull ourselves together and win our two games this week, the treble is still on. We need to keep faith in Clement and his staff to turn this around. If they play like that, Gary, they're getting beat on Wednesday, and I worry at Hampden on Sunday against a Hearts team that will be licking their lips. So much improved performance required for the next two games. Let's address this, Chris. I know Rangers scored from a corner, which was nearly keeled over when I seen it, but it was an OG at the end of the day, so I think they were more fortunate than anything else. Blue Eyed Boy says, Derek, Chris, can we talk about how bad our corners are? We've discussed this on many videos now. I know the manager was quizzed. I think Johnny asked him about it about a month or so ago, about the set pieces and whether he would consider bringing in a set piece coach, and he says he likes doing it himself. I cover a lot of League One football down south, and there's teams in League One with less resources than what Rangers have who have much better corners and set piece routines than what Rangers do. They are deplorable, Chris. Not enough work has been done on the training pitch, and it's a big part of the game. Rangers can get a lot more joy if they started practicing them more on the Rangers training centre. Not good enough. How many times have we been saying this? Not only defensively, but offensively as well. Anytime Rangers get a corner, you hear that the fans getting excited, which quite rightly most supporters would do. A chance to pile the box, get players up from the back. But more often than not, it just hits the first man, or is the delivery's so poor. Let's talk about set pieces. How bad are they?
Very, unfortunately. I think that sums it up. I thought the most threatening we looked from one yesterday was when Jack Butland was up in the last minute and threw himself at one.
Desperation stuff, that, wasn't it?
That again, that says it all, the fact that you're in that position away to Ross County away. It's been a theme over the last few weeks. Rangers do not carry enough threat from free kicks in certain areas, and don't carry enough threat from corners. You think back to the Goldson one again last weekend against Celtic. That type of chance, it's gilt-edged. If you are a big centre-half, you need to be hitting the target with them. Goldson's actually had quite a few in the last few weeks. And it's not as if Rangers are a small side. That's not to say it's land of the giants stuff, but they do have players in that side who should be capable. See some of the floated, as Mitchell says, floated ones that are just away up. They're absolutely hopeless, causing no threat whatsoever, because you just know it's going to be high, it's going to be floated, it'll go too far back. Suter or Goldson or somebody will need to try and backtrack and pedal to then just try and get a nod on it to knock it back into an area. And invariably, you don't win the second ball, and you've turned what should be a promising situation, and you've turned something that should be a chance to get a goal into, right, we're now on the back foot and everybody's scrambling to get it back. There's no variety in it. There's no quality in them. And the switch between the outswingers and the inswingers, it just seems to happen for strange reasons sometimes. Went through a spell where we never get an inswinger, and then there's a couple of games where a couple of them, and looks slightly more threatening. Yesterday's, I see some of these floated ones at the back post are carrying no threat whatsoever. So it's definitely an area where there's huge room for improvement for Rangers. It's going to be training ground time. The manager, of course, has been really short of that. It hasn't had a lot of time to actually work on things, to put his ideas across. But corner routines and trying to come up with something that's a wee bit different rather than Barisic or Tav swinging them in, you wouldn't think it shouldn't take that long to actually put together something that makes Rangers more threatening. Because it's, as you say, Derek, it's an area, it's not quite free goal territory, but it's just such an opportunity wasted when you don't take advantage of it.
Yep, not enough. It's clear as day. They need someone in there just to focus on it specifically. And I know players often say it's boring, set-piece trading, but it pays dividends on the pitch on game day. A couple other points just before we wrap up. Denzel, with the point here, he says, sadly, we have some players who have proved time and time again they aren't winners, whether it's a question of quality or a psychological hitch, we don't know, but it's here. I thought it was interesting when the manager was quizzed on Sky afterwards, Chris, And he says it's not just about running around and effort he needs, it's quality as well. So I get what he's saying. I wonder if it's, I dig at certain players in that team who never really produced the sort of quality that is required to go on and win titles. Wednesday is must win now, of course. They're all must win, as we have touched on. Don't have much hope that Rangers can go to Parkhead, as I said as well. Failure to pick up maximum points on Chris on Wednesday, Chris, and it's ta-ta, good night.
Definitely. We're at that stage now where there is officially no margin for error now. It has to be a win in every single Premiership game between now and the end of the season. Anything else, Rangers aren't champions. That's the situation that they've put themselves in through their own fault, through their own failings. They could have no complaints over it. I know it was a difficult week and there's been this uncertainty over the Dundee game. Come on, it's Ross County away. With all respect to what Don Cowie is doing there, they are in their position in the table for a reason. Rangers are in their position for a reason because they worked hard. They've got themselves in that position. I say they're now in danger of throwing it all away. So they've got Wednesday night to try and get back on track, to try and cut the gap. The post-split fixtures will be interesting. I don't know if the manager would prefer Parkhead early on to try and win it and build a bit of momentum, or do you try and keep Parkhead for the second last weekend maybe and then hope that you can build a bit of momentum and see if Celtic slip up to put a bit of pressure on them? Ultimately, also Rangers just have to play them when the SPFL decide. I would think the Old Firm would be early on.
Yeah.
If Rangers then go to Parkhead and lose, it's done. Whether it's mathematically over at that point or not, it's just done. If they can somehow go to Parkhead and win, that then puts a different slant on it. But it's just the feeling this morning, it's just so different as it was a week past on Saturday when everyone was buzzing heading into the Old Firm game thinking this is the chance. How quickly things can change.
Yep. Absolutely. The manager's got some big calls to make ahead of Wednesday, there's no doubt about it. Right, just a heads up, as I mentioned earlier on, folks, you can read more about the game if you want to put yourself through that over on the website. Josh has done a great analysis piece on there. Link is in the description below as well. Just a heads up for those of you that are members on the YouTube channel as well. And Chris interviewed Bobby Russell. You can find that interview on the website, but we're getting Bobby and author Ross Wilson on a video. We're going live at 11 a.m., folks. So if you want to get your questions towards Bobby about his time at Rangers, then please do so. It should be a more positive video than what this has certainly been. But you spoke to Bobby, Chris. He's in good form, isn't he?
He was. He's also got his book out from Easterhouse to Eindhoven. Unfortunately, I don't think he can play in the midfield these days. I think his days are maybe beyond him. But no, it was good to catch up with him. I've spoken to him a couple of times over the years and done various pieces with him. I'm actually heading along to his book launch, New Edmondson House, on Friday night. So I'm sure Bobby and Ross will talk you through the book, talk you through the details, obviously talk you through his career. But no, certainly a midfielder of the style and of the type and of the quality, Rangers certainly lacking these days. So he was speaking a bit about going into that side. Winning the treble in his first season, and you go in and there's some of the Barca Bears in there signed at the same time as Gordon Smith and Davy Cooper. No, what a Rangers side and what a Rangers squad to go into. So I'm sure it'll be a good chat, and hopefully everyone can join you for that later on.
Yeah, 11 a.m. for those of you that are members on the YouTube channel. If you want to join, folks, just click the join button on the homepage on the Rangers Review YouTube page. It has to be a desktop version. You get 3 to 5 extra videos a week, including the one at 11 a.m. Right, we'll wrap up there. Huge thanks to you all for tuning in as ever. Big thanks to Chris as well. We'll be back on tomorrow. Joshua and Stevie joining me tomorrow morning, so we hope you can join us for that. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Monday. Bye for now.